Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
11 o'clock hour. Here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll get to the trash of the day.
Sometimes I think some of you are on the text line are like hitting a pin a little too early in the day or something with some of these takes. Sometimes I feel like too early in the day.
913-586-7965.
It's only 11:04 a.m. It's too early for me for some of these takes.
Like what?
There's one in particular that suggested, I can't tell if it's suggesting trading both or suggesting trading one.
Okay.
But they definitely said that they got to look at the possibility of trading Vinny and Caglione to fix their problems. And I'm like, but those will create so many more problems. That's going to create so many more problems, Drew.
I think maybe he was saying one of them.
Even because then, they play a similar position? I don't agree with that either.
I think that's less crazy.
I also still hate it.
I think that's what the texter meant.
Trading both?
Trading two of maybe your three best hitters for 2026 to help you in 2026 just doesn't compute.
Pass.
We also now have people texting in CAG sightings. We are not going to be reading those on air. The guy can have some privacy, but I appreciate that.
Well, just like throughout the city?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to just say, oh, by the way, he's at this place right this second. People are texting in. We're not going to get the thank you for texting in. Not
for
gonna share
sure
that
that's public. Where he was, just like on a random Thursday?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Why not?
All right.
We'll let the guy live a little bit.
Hmm. I go to that very store sometimes, you know.
Do you?
Yeah.
I didn't know you were that kind of guy.
Who among us, you know, doesn't...
I thought you... I didn't think you went there. Yeah.
It varies. Less there than the direct competition.
Okay.
But the in-laws make it available to go there as well.
Someone says, I have a picture to prove it. Oh, I'm not saying you're making it up. I'm just like, I'm not going to say where he's at on air.
DM it to me on Twitter. I want to be confirmed. We know how he spent his off day. He said he spent his off day looking for a place to live and hunting for cars.
That I knew. I
classic
got,
Jack Caglione. He said that himself, obviously.
Yeah, that I was well aware of. I know exactly where he was on Monday or whatever with the card stuff, but... Anyway.
He probably went to a couple of different spots.
Anyway.
Someone says, don't tell Dusty. Don't need him.
He'll be
on CAG's watch here pretty soon.
Speeding to the location, perhaps. All right. Yesterday, as expected, I think, based on our conversation
with
Jonathan Katz of Fox 4, the Missouri House ended up passing that stadium bill, which will open up mechanisms at the state level to finance up to 50% of a renovated Arrowhead. And a project if the Royals want a new stadium, presumably in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. It now goes to the governor's desk. He was a proponent of this. He's going to sign it. It's going to happen. So what does it mean now? This is it just means all the options are firmly on the table. If the bill never passed, then Missouri's path was going to be pretty much impossible. This is a huge deal to keeping the Chiefs and Royals in Missouri. Now, there still has to be the local component for the Royals. It still means the city of KC Mo has got to come up with a plan to get the financing to make this thing happen. It means for the Chiefs, Jackson County, potentially a vote again on the Chiefs end to keep them in KC Mo. That's where we're at now. And then, of course, we know Kansas is just kind of waiting and hanging out with their offer that expires at the end of the month, the Star Bonds. However, if they think a deal is close, based on what we heard from Jonathan Katz over at Fox 4, there's a group of legislators that are part of like this committee or whatever that they can extend it, not a year, but they could extend it if they wanted like a month, if they needed to buy some time. So every single option is now firmly on the table. This is why the Royals and Chiefs, as we said, when the vote failed last April, they were the biggest winners of it failing, despite the embarrassment that night, because they get the leverage both sides of the state line, and now they have all this money from Missouri on the table. They got the Starbond offer from Kansas. It's going to come down to truly where do they want to be, and then also can KC Mo deliver on the Royals' end, and then can Jackson County voters, if it gets to that, end up passing? Do the Chiefs want to go to a public vote? Because I think that still is going to have to happen.
I guess a lot of this comes down to, yes, it is. Based on anything I'm hearing, they're still, at least the Royals are still going to need other funding mechanisms. Although I thought Ketz pointed out something really interesting about that, which is it's up to 70% in Kansas, which means they actually still have to sell the damn bonds in order to fund it. So like they can't guarantee the Royals and Chiefs 70% for sure. They can tell them we can get you up to 70% in the best case scenario in which we sell all the bonds. We'll get you there. And look, I'm sure they're optimistic that they can get this thing done. The big questions that now remain. One, is this secret money faucet, I believe Quentin Lucas has been dangling via social media, actually available? Time to put your like money where your mouth is, right? A little bit. Because he's been making this point that we've always been close, and we believe we have funding mechanisms to unlock endless money. He didn't say that, but like he was pretty optimistic about it on social. We have mechanisms through the city to fund certain processes of this that do not require a public vote. Yeah, we don't have to go to Jackson County. We don't have to ask people. So now would be the time, by the way. If you have that money, they've got the 50% from the state. Now would be the time to start showing the Royals where that money is coming from. The Chiefs is an interesting one, and this is why I think the Star Bonds thing is interesting. They expire. They've admitted they can extend them, Gold. But what do you do if the Chiefs want to see how a second Jackson County vote goes? You just leave Kansas waiting? Will they extend him forever at the possibility the Chiefs might still go there?
Let's say the Royals commit to going downtown. They get the financing figured out at the city level. And then Kansas's only option becomes the Chiefs. Well, then the answer is they'll be patient. They're going to pass up the opportunity. Yeah. No, they can claim there's a deadline, but if it comes down to they already know the Royals are staying, let's say in Missouri.
You're telling me
that they're not going to still wait for the Chiefs to come over. They can act like there's this firm deadline. That's fine, but you're telling me if there was still a chance the Chiefs were your only option to get to come over the state line to Kansas, that you're just going to say, never mind, actually, all this effort and time, we actually don't really need. No, if they actually think they can still get them, they will try to do everything possible to get them. But
I know, but
yesterday
like that makes
was
it
a
like
huge
not a firm deadline.
Well, I don't think
like,
it is.
It's over. I know. I'm not saying you do. I'm just like, Kansas is trying to be like, hey, June 30th, that's it.
Yeah.
And then we're out, you know, and we know that they obviously have mechanisms in order to do that. I still don't know where anyone's going. All I know is that this keeps Missouri in play. Like, that's the biggest thing out of yesterday. This keeps Missouri in play. I will say, does anyone else feel like that there is I think, unfounded optimism that a solo Jackson County vote of just the Chiefs would get passed? I feel like everyone's like, you know, the Chiefs could just go ballot alone all by themselves and get that Jackson County money. Now I'm like, it lost by 16 points. We thought the reason why it lost by 16 points was the fact that the Royals were just attached to it. And also, this is the other big question I would ask is, how much money are you asking from the city? And how much money are you asking in a sales tax incentive? Technically, if Missouri is footing 50% of the bill now, you shouldn't need anywhere close to that 8-cent sales tax anymore. Are you coming down on that, or are you coming back for the 8th cent and you're trying to like get back closer to the, because now the project price, you know, has gone
3/8, though, right?
Or 3/8, sorry, 3/8.
Is this assuming that they're only upgrading Arrowhead?
Missouri,
Jackson County would be a renovation.
Yeah. If they're getting a brand new stadium, that's where Kansas would come into play.
I think that it's all about the upgrades then, because like the big upgrade, what was the parking? I mean, it was the walkway and the parking. Was it that was
and
then,
the stuff for the level super wealthy.
And let's be real. None of us have seen what a new renovated rendering would be, but.
I know that they have some, I think.
A big chunk of the renovation is still going to be new suites and stuff. I mean, that's just the reality of how this stuff works. I mean, anybody thinking that they're just going to scrap the suites and it's just going to be comfortable seats in the 300 level, that's not what's going
to
happen.
We actually decided to add cushioned seats upstairs for everybody. Like,
That's not going to be the case. I don't know, man. It's someone was pointing out, though, you know, the Royals, for them in particular, they would prefer that be the team that stays, because that means downtown baseball. People are mixed on that. We've gone through this over and over. You could do the suburb thing and have your version of the battery like Atlanta.
It's
if
not
you
what
live
I
in
want,
suburbs.
That's a personal preference thing, not the other way. I still, as I've told you, like the idea of sharing the cost. Like I like the idea that both Missourians and Kansans enjoy the Chiefs and the Royals and going to the stadiums and doing the stuff. I like the idea of a split cost between the two states. That makes me comfortable. I'm not going to be offended if they end up in both or either. I just want downtown baseball because I think it's cooler.
How much do you think, when you look at the decision-making process, if you're Clark Hunt for the Chiefs, is one, do you think that it can pass in Jackson County again? Then there's also, we know the Nate Taylor's reporting from The Athletic that Clark Hunt now is open to having a dome, or wants a dome, because of what it could bring. That means Kansas. But then also still the balance of what Arrowhead is to him and how the Chiefs view Arrowhead. We know the history of Arrowhead Stadium. You and I have talked about the difference between Lambeau and Arrowhead. Do people outside of Kansas City, do the Chiefs view
it's
it
the
as
the only other
do,
old
do,
stadium?
Do they
cool.
view it the same way that they view Lambeau Field? Do they believe that's the case? And if so, that's where the renovation comes in. If they don't think that that's where it's at, then why would you renovate a building at the age? You know, that's where I've been at, is I don't agree with putting the kind of money they would need to put into a stadium of its age. I know a lot of people disagree with me on that, because we all have unbelievable memories at Arrowhead. I've shared them on this show. You guys know, for sporting event I've gone to ever was at Arrowhead, and the memories and the tailgating and all that is incredible. But the building itself, through renovation, are you trying to make it Lambeau for the next 30 years? Are you trying to, you know, do what they did in Soldier Field? Or are you thinking, hey, it's just an old building at this point in time?
Can I ask, I guess, a follow-up for like what fans want? Not necessarily you, Gold, just everybody.
Yeah, 913 is not possible.
5867965. Yeah, the retractable roof idea to the current stadium.
That's not happening.
They've explored that before. But I guess part of this is, I am part of what I believe to be the new consumer base that will slowly infiltrate the sports world. And I'm not saying I need a hot tub or whatever that like filth pool was in Jacksonville. But the idea being that it's not just the game is the only portion of it. You're making a day of it. You spend a lot of money to go there. The Chiefs have openly said dozens of times, Mark Donovan has said on this show before, that there is no viable way to do anything around the stadium. So it would just be for the building. No business, no things to do. They're not going to cocoa water, you know, like we talked about. The only way I do it is if I get Cocoa Key Water Resort back. None of that's happening to the stadium. They've openly admitted they've run the numbers 1,000 different ways. There's no development going around it. That's the part of the renovation that really gets me there, is that every team that's been around there has openly admitted, we're not doing anything around it. It would just be about the building. There'd still be nothing to do there other than, like, I don't know, that turf field they built in the first one or whatever. There's not going to be thing like Title Town. You mentioned Green Bay. They've changed the way that area is structured.
That was an amazing experience when I went up to
Lambeau
a
way to
years
like,
ago.
Yeah, as a way to try to kind of like keep it. And so that has always been a big hang up for me in the renovation part of Arrowhead, is I just got to accept 30 more years of it's about going to the game. And look, I bet there are a lot of Chiefs fans that say, yeah, I do. I like to go spend 3 hours out there tailgating and then go into the stadium and then leave. I don't need all the other stuff.
Yes. 913-586-7965. Someone says, imagine if the St. Louis Cardinals moved to Illinois. Laughable idea, right? What's the difference between the Chiefs? Well, first of all, I would say if all of a sudden this won't happen because Jefferson City is big Cardinals fans, but if if the St. Louis Cardinals wanted a new stadium, let's say 20 years from now,
they just want to renovate theirs.
They do. But let's just say, cause we're playing hypotheticals now based off the text. If the St. Louis Cardinals wanted money for a new stadium and the state told them to F off, and then they had a public vote and the voters said, no, we don't want you. I think you are kidding and lying to yourself if you think the St. Louis Cardinals wouldn't be willing to explore other options as well. I know it doesn't sound right.
They at least threaten it.
Like you're acting like, well, the Cardinals would never leave St. Louis. And how could the Royals also are not leaving Kansas City. They're staying in the KC Metro. That's why it sounds different to you. If the Royals don't stay in Missouri, they're still staying in Kansas City metropolitan area. But we've seen the reason why I know I can, that St. Louis example isn't as good as you think is the laughable idea at one point of, oh, the San Diego Chargers, they're not going to move to LA. Why, they're not going to leave. You know why they left? Because they couldn't get a stadium done in San Diego. So yes, just because St. Louis is the same deal, man. It's the same deal. Any city that can't get a project done for a new team, the reality of where we live in with public finance stadiums, unfortunately, that team will go to another municipality to find the stadium. That's why
the Dallas Cowboys are in Arlington.
We're lucky.
Not in Dallas.
We're lucky that the state line exists and that we're not going to lose either team out of the region. Out of the metro area, either they're going to stay in Missouri or they're going to Kansas, but they're still going to be in Kansas City. And that's just where we're at with stadium projects in the United States. I wish they were all privately funded. They're not.
I guess part of it is just like the state line thing doesn't mean anything to me. It's just about proximity. We just happen to live in a city that resides just on a state line. The difference between Dallas and Arlington, and I looked it up, is 20 miles. That's the difference between that's probably the difference between where the Chiefs' new stadium would go and where it is now. And also, so it's like, it's not different. It just happens to be on another side of it. An invisible line. I want to be clear. like an invisible line. It's not, I don't know.
Yeah, I also have heard that, you know, the city of St. Louis has had a football team leave twice. So like this idea that nobody would ever leave St. Louis is hilarious.
I mean, football teams don't like to stay there at all. Not even a little bit. They just want to they want to renovate their downtown stadium. Now, look, if you got other problems with downtown stadiums because you don't like the, I don't know, whatever stuff, safety or whatever things concern you. Like, again, I think we can have differing opinions on this. I don't think it's wrong for you to say, no, I'd like it at 119th. Golden, I wouldn't, but that's okay if you would for the Royals. But, like, the state line thing, I'm tired, I guess, of getting hung up on that part in particular.
Yeah,
didn't feel like it.
Some people are not going to pivot on that. You know, someone says, Kansas is not Kansas City. Like, we don't need to go down that road again.
Is this the sports team stuff? Just real quick, and then I know we can get to the trash of the day. Because I was trying to think about it. Like, so yesterday on, I think it was maybe the YouTube chat, it was the opposite, right? Someone's like, what kind of losers would want to live on the Missouri side anyway? Laughable.
Who said that?
Just someone on YouTube chat yesterday. And I'm like, the hell you got such against? Like, we can all make our jokes about, like, not even kidding. Before the show today, I was making a slight joke talking about Johnson County moms. We can all make our jokes, right? And Gold can make a joke about the part of the town I live in or anything. But, like, do you really hate everybody who lives in Missouri? Do you find it laughable that anyone would choose to live on either side of the state line? I don't. I think it's like, I think it's crazy that Gold chooses to live where he lives. It's fine. I don't care. A lot of it is just like the stuff that doesn't impact you. I still think it must be based in the original sports fandom hate. The original Kansas versus Missouri.
Sure.
And then
as
they hate each other less, it'll fade less. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe it happens on, someone tell me, you live in St. Louis for a while. Do they mock people from Illinois?
Probably. I'm sure they do. Nebraska people hate Iowa. I mean, you know, this kind of stuff happens.
I mean,
is St. Louis's soccer team on the Illinois side or is it on the Missouri side?
It's in St. Louis, Missouri.
It's in Missouri, I think. I guess
we drove by the stadium.
I don't get it.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day. All right, well, plenty of time to talk more stadium, I'm sure. Don't worry. Let's get to story in Kentucky. Okay. A man was arrested there. Now, you worked in the restaurant industry for a bit, as we know.
Been a long time, but yeah, every restaurant I now worked at is closed.
Oh, that's interesting.
The one I very briefly worked at before Webster House just closed.
You shut them all down, huh?
They're all closed.
This happened on Friday. I'm wondering if you ever had a circumstance like this. On Friday, police in Kentucky arrested a man who they said opened the door to the Big Apple Grill and Bar.
Okay.
and set a live raccoon loose and left. The animal bit a patron, and officers soon stopped this gentleman's car. He refused to roll on the window, so they pulled him out, arrested him. He now faces charges that include second-degree assault, trespassing, resisting arrest, I cannot talk, and driving without insurance. Police note, it wasn't his first unusual offense. He was also arrested last year after showing up drunk on a mule.
Does this guy work on a farm or something? Trapping animals?
I don't know.
So he was mad at a business, clearly. Then threw a raccoon into their business? Man, I can't imagine. I'm just trying to sit down, eat a steak and a baked potato, whatever, Big Apple Diner, you said, or Big Apple Grill in Murray, Kentucky. Go, you and I, we're just on a little road trip, trying to enjoy a meal, and all of a sudden I'm bit by a raccoon. What the hell kind of experience is that coming from? How do you even explain that to somebody else? Also, what makes you think that that's a normal, like that's the level you take it to? I was trying to think of ways to get back at Carrington for all the mean things he said on the show yesterday. I never once thought, what if at the end of the show at 2 o'clock today, I just chucked a live raccoon into the studio and then closed the door behind me? How come trespassing? I mean, I'm assuming he was allowed in that restaurant.
I mean, he just opened the front door and then just let the raccoon in, shut the door and left.
But if I'm under normal circumstances allowed in the restaurant, is it really trespassing? Is it trespassing if I'm planning on committing a different crime?
I'm just saying,
when did he open it? Under business hours? If it's because they were closed.
Someone says, wait a minute, Big Apple Grill in Kentucky. Yes, that's what it said. Yeah, that's what it said. Where's Xavier Leggett when you need him?
To get text.
Well done. Well done.
Now I kind of got to see. Do they have like a big apple on the... what is it? Kentucky? I got to look up the Big Apple Grill. I mean, they've got like a big apple as their thing. But which part of this town are they calling? Are they just like New Yorkers who decided to live in Kentucky? Because they got like a skyline as part of their... part of their logo works. I'm not sure. You guys want to go support the Big Apple Grill? You know, since they've been under raccoon attack. You ever been bit by an animal?
Like a dog, I guess. That would be it. Not a wild animal.
Not a wild animal.
It's like,
didn't get a goat get you at the zoo or something?
No, man. It sounds like you have, is what you're about to tell me.
No, I keep my palms flat at the zoo. They show you how to feed the goats. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be risking it. No, just like dog or cat. I can't imagine. Nothing serious. I've never required a stitch or anything for that. I think we should support them.
That is the trash of the day.
Murray, Kentucky. That just sounds like a miserable place to live.
Now, dumb question. Is that where Murray State is?
Oh, great question, actually. I mean, it's got to be, right?
No, probably not. I'm probably making it too simple. Oh, it is. There you go. All right, up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. Once again, people are talking about trading a star player with the Chiefs. Who is it this time? We'll tell you that.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference.
According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you welcome to the club.
Next.
Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. We're just going to have to settle this the old way. We mentioned the boxing match. You dress up like the state of Kansas. I dress up like the state of Missouri. And we battle for
but
this.
But you and I, here's the thing.
That's
but here's the thing.
The
what's funny about this is
we're actually
is
two of the most reasoned you, people about it.
You live in Missouri. I live in Kansas. I've spent my whole life going to sporting events in Missouri. You and I have both said, like, I don't really care where the team ends up. I have preferences, but like deep down, my entire life I have gone to Missouri for sporting events. It's not this. I've spent money in Missouri. It's not like this idea. I don't call them the Missouri Chiefs. I won't call them the Kansas Chiefs. It's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the Kansas City Royals. And I know that's not how all of you feel, but it is. And people are passionate about it. And we appreciate it. Some of it is not living in reality. They're not going to be called the Overland Park Royals. They're not going to, if they go there, they're not going to be, they're not called the Jackson County Chiefs. That's not how they, the Braves are not in Atlanta. They're not called the Swinette, Georgia Braves. I think it's their minor league team, but like point being they're not called the New Jersey Jets and the New Jersey Giants. Like anyway, all right, enough of that. We'll talk more Chiefs also in the 1 o'clock hour as well as now because Andy Reid is expected to speak to the media.
Yeah.
In the 1 o'clock hour.
And so is Kingsley Suamataie and a few other interesting Chiefs as well. Obviously a lot riding on Kingsley's ability to play left guard this year, it would certainly feel. But we tried to find. Apparently the morning show, Bob said that my song would make him sick and related to the 999 challenge. A brief period of the song was played, but we couldn't find it. But I happened to catch part of the morning show the other day in which they were once again suggesting that years ago, trading Travis Kelce would have been the right decision because there was a poll out about whether or not they should trade Travis Kelce now. Now, for starters, Travis Kelce's value now related to the rest of the league would make no sense. You would never get the return on it. He's an all-time Chiefs hero. I would never be anywhere in there. But I actually think the bigger problem is that you can't just win with anybody, and the Chiefs have told you that. They know who they can and can't win with, and that's the thing we should actually be applauding them for, Gold. If you go back 3 years and you say, trade Travis Kelce when he's beginning, let's say hypothetically, maybe 2 years ago, beginning hypothetically the downward trajectory of his career, and then he doesn't have some big bounce back this year. And because they traded Tyreek Hill, they could have won without anybody, traded away Travis Kelce then, got tremendous back value for him and continue to win. That's where I think is wrong because they chose to keep Travis Kelce, went to 3 straight Super Bowls, won 2 of them, and did that without Tyreek. Sure, but they didn't do that without Travis Kelce. I don't think we can now just subtract anybody off the roster and say they would have won it without that player. I think what the Chiefs have told you is there are certain players we can't win without, at least not yet. And those players to this point have been Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones. Those are the guys we know we need until we find suitable replacements. And maybe they've done in Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy now. And I also just, I firmly believe in these. Some guys should be able to ride out their career in the same city. Because that argument means you like, if you think that trading Travis Kelce now makes sense, well, then you're probably Patrick Mahomes when he's 40, and you would have been fine to ship him out to Tom Brady when you were in New England, and it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we think, the final year of Kelce, and therefore every other team also knows that. So, I mean, I really don't know where this fully came from directly. This, the thought of trading. I mean, there was the conversation, I think, 5 years ago that people said, oh, should you have traded Travis Kelce or whatever? He's going to go down as the greatest tight end in NFL history. Look at his production the last couple of years, the rings they have won. The idea that they should have done it there was wrong. And the idea that they would trade it now would just simply not make any sense for both the Chiefs and for Travis and for any team trading for
him. But I think it would have been a horrible idea even if you went back in the way back machine and said 2 years ago, let's do it.
Yeah.
Why would you turn in the three trips to a Super Bowl and the two wins at the risk that they wouldn't be able to replace that player just because they could win without Tyreek?
I think the morning show had a poll question, and that's where you obviously were talking about, and that was to trade for TJ Watt.
Well, that's ludicrous. That's not going to happen.
The Steelers wouldn't accept that trade.
Yeah. But that's also that's just like asking fans for the first. It's a really bad trade for the Steelers.
They would never accept it.
I don't know why you'd trade a 30-year-old elite level defensive end for a 36.
I mean, by that logic, at that point, like, obviously it's a fun hypothetical and stuff, but like, you can do that though for so many trades if that's the case. I mean, it's like, would you trade Travis Kelce for Ja'Marr Chase? Yeah, I would too. Yeah. I mean, like, we can play that game all day long.
Honestly, it's still closer than it should be, which is 46% yes, 28% no, 26% hell no. So I'm not sure what the difference is, but some of this is like the bigger organizational stuff. So like when I make fun of Cincinnati because their first round pick, who is not signed, has now left camp altogether and has made it very clear it's about the shady stuff Cincinnati's trying to do with his contract and that he doesn't feel good about. And there's no reason for him to accept a complete change from the complete standard and industry norm, including their team's practice. Who the hell trades away a first ballot Hall of Famer? Who is still, statistically, by the way, one of the three best tight ends in the NFL. Because you can say that Travis Kelce's production has come down. Why would you move on from a player that still statistically is one of the best players at his position, even at the age? But the one that offends me more is the idea that, like, you know, if you'd been saying this for years, now it's the right call because the decline eventually happened. I'd be like, nah, not with the middle of Super Bowl trips. I know they did it without Tyreek Hill. I don't think they go to as many Super Bowls without Travis Kelce. Maybe it's one less, maybe it's two. It's not zero in your defense, but it's definitely not as many as they went to.
Is it one of those things where, let's say Travis wasn't putting up the numbers, Cody. Let's say he was only getting like 500 over the last...
He's not.
No. I'm saying let's pretend that he got 500 yards last year. Do you even consider trading him still because of what he's meant and knowing he's going into probably his last season? Or you're like, you know what? This is going to be a celebration. No matter how good or bad Travis is, this is this year's for Travis. We're going to do everything we can for Travis, and we want him to be a part of our team rather than looking to the future, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like an appreciation thing, I think, regardless, because this is probably his last season.
Happens less in the NFL, I'll say. Lots of baseball players get to just like ride off into the sunset hitting 230. In football, more often than not, Drew, they go the other way.
I mean, Montana, Brady, teams are always looking to move you for whatever's best. Yeah.
Even if you're an all-timer, you know, they'll still let you sometimes find another home because, like, let's use a great example. Here's a great example, similar age. Ed Reed. Ed Reed was an all-time Hall of Fame level player for the Baltimore Ravens. You probably don't remember. In his final season in the year, he played part of the year for the Houston Texans and part of the year for the Jets. You probably don't even remember him in that uniform, Drew. They walked on his ass. They said, we're good.
I remember him with the Jets, yes.
It happens. In the NFL, more often than not, they're kind of cutthroat. My point is that Travis Kelce is still an incredibly productive player. And at this stage, like if they're saying the poll question was just, would you do a trade up for this year's Travis versus this year's TJ Watt? The answer is still, I'd still take Travis at this moment. But yeah, I understand that TJ Watt's going to be the better player for the next 5 years because he's going to be in the league.
Obviously.
Travis Kelce's not going to be around much longer, I guess. Although, I don't know. I go back to that Patrick Mahomes comment where he said, if it's his last year, he's not making it seem that way. I still put like a 10% chance he comes back next year. Is that too high?
I think so. I think he's done.
You think it's zero?
I think it's zero.
I don't know. I don't think you could ever say it's zero.
0.5. I'll give like a 1%.
Yeah, it's like a 5% chance. This is not the final year.
Okay, so you're willing to go? Not. I mean, I'm not like way higher than you. I said 10. Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not out of control high, at least based on.
I don't think he's going to play for anybody else other than the Chiefs, and I don't think the Chiefs would. I don't think the Chiefs would.
This is one of those players.
I think this is his last year playing for the Chiefs, and I don't think he's playing for another team. As a result, I think he's done.
But if the end of the year he said, "Hey, I'd like a 1-year deal one more time," you pay him. I'm sorry, you just do.
Oh yeah,
you don't
I think
let
they
him
would.
Find some other team to latch on to and try to.
I just don't think he also.
Him.
I honestly,
I don't think he would do that.
I think we're at the point, and I know other athletes have done. I don't think he will ever play for another team.
You think he would just retire if the Chiefs didn't win?
I think that kind of goes back to the Jason Kelce thing. Like they seem to have a very similar team-friendly sentiment, and how they both know. How rare it is to get to spend an entire career with one team at any position that isn't quarterback. And even quarterbacks, yet everybody doesn't get to do that either. But, like, it's rare, really rare in order to do it. The other part about the Travis Kelce stuff is what ESPN had written about Mahomes' looming question this year, and they related it to, can he return to the statistical monster that he once was? Kelce's a part of what I think is the deepest wide receiver unit they have had. And I know for a fact that sentence has been uttered by people sometime in the last 3 years, and it ended up being demonstrably false. I remember specifically that getting mentioned in one of those years, and it was like Kadarius Toney and some other guys. That one just ended up being way wrong. Last year, at least you could have said injuries got in the way.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it should be the same as last year, except you drafted Xavier Worthy, and you know what kind of player you got in that. Rashee Rice, the suspension part still looms. The later it goes, the longer I'm just like convinced he's not going to get suspended at all, or he's going to be suspended for 2 to 3 games, not 4 to 6 or anything outside of that. But Rice, Worthy, Kelce, Hollywood, that's a unit. That's a real wide receiver unit that I would rack up when some of the top 5 to 7 in the league. Honestly.
Yeah, I think they have plenty of weapons heading into the season. That's not the question. You know, I would have we've said yesterday, would have liked them to do something differently with the backfield. You know, whether it was bringing in somebody different than signing Kareem
Hunt
back
or
a younger, more explosive back higher in the draft than just waiting until the 7th round. Okay, that's nitpicking a little bit, but that's where I would have pivoted a little bit in the backfield. Offensively, wide receiver and tight end, they got plenty of weapons. It is still up to me about the offensive line. So yeah, when there's a Dan Graziano out there doing a column about some of the most pressing questions for every team's QB and talking about how Mahomes and the deep passing game and all that, I still think if the wide receiver room is healthy, I think they got the guys.
I think they're instantly better there, even if the offensive line struggles. I think last year's, and we were talking about this earlier, the more I think about it, Gold, the problem with the offense the last 2 years, and which, by the way, they were not the league's worst offense or a joke. They were just too close to mediocre for our tastes. They were 10 to 12th best, not 1 to, you know, the first best or the third best or whatever else offense outside of it. They're still better than a huge chunk of the league. I still think it's because both were bad. I think we were way undervaluing the fact that, like, oh, I can't play with a good offensive line, with a bad offensive line, or, oh, you know, other people make it work without, you know, Josh Allen didn't have elite level weapons. Hit the best offensive line, or the second best offensive line in the AFC.
And one of the best running backs in the league.
Second to only Denver, in my opinion. He might have had the third best line in the league last year, Josh Allen. So, yeah, I'm sure his stats still looked better than Patrick Mahomes. It's not about having one unit fail you. It's the fact that both did. Last year, their number one wide receiver for the second consecutive year was an unproven rookie who they had to develop in the season. That's not great. That's not what you're trying to build. Now, they actually tried to have more options, obviously, but we know Rashee Rice 4 games into the season
ripped up
his ACL or
in season,
Achilles or whatever.
In season, they went out and did as many, you know, micro moves, if you will, that they could to try to get it together. It's what helped them get to 15 wins and obviously get them to a Super Bowl. The Super Bowl itself didn't go the way, but they still got to a Super Bowl. And they made moves in season. You highlight them. Some worked, some didn't. Kareem Hunt in-season signing would turn out to be a big deal for them during the year. T-Hop really didn't provide the boost that everybody was hoping for.
It cost a fifth-round pick, so.
Sure. Oh, I'm just saying they did a bunch of micro moves to try to get to where they got. But the question about Mahomes and the deep passing game and what the offense could be, could it ever get back to being a top five, top seven offense? That is going to be because of the explosive plays, but it really, to me, is going to be because the left side of the offensive line is improved. And if it's not, I think there's a chance we're going to be frustrated by the lack of big plays again. But I do think wide receiver-wise, Brown, Rice, and Worthy, I think they have the right people in place.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know, man. I definitely think they're going to be way, way, way better on offense, even if the deep passing game struggles because of what you said, the offensive line. Can they be worse on offensive line? You know that the deep metrics hated their left side play last year.
They could be worse. The left side couldn't be, but the entirety of the line could be.
Okay. Ugh, man.
If you want it, because I think that's a...
Well, I don't think they're going to get any worse at center or right guard. That's going to stand pat and right tackle. Like, I don't know why that would fundamentally change. So for me, it's like, how are they going to be worse?
If Juwan Taylor is a penalty machine again, and then I think that might be...
He's led the league in the NFL in penalties by like a billion penalties over the last 2 years. So that's not worse. That's the same. I have a hard time imagining worse for the offensive line. Worse seems like a stretch. The same? I'll hear the same.
Yeah, the offensive line is not going to be worse than a year ago. The left side is the question, though. Left guard, you're going to be. I know one area you are going to be worse. You're going to be worse at left guard. The question is the left tackle play good enough to make up for that? I think Juwan Taylor will actually, now we're further removed, like he's off the radar. I think Juwan Taylor will be fine in his final year in Kansas City.
I still think he'll commit a lot of penalties because he's done that throughout his career.
Well, isn't that what happened with Trey Smith last year towards the end? Is he had to help Juwan Taylor out because he was struggling, and Trey Smith started committing penalties on a fairly regular basis, like once or twice a game. It happened over the entirety of the playoffs, it felt like.
This is why they paid Trey Smith more. Because there are some people who be like, I don't know, man. I see Trey Smith miss some blocks sometimes. And what they're missing is what he's actually doing is covering for Juwan Taylor a lot. But that's also why they're willing to pay Trey Smith, because they understand part of that. But Juwan Taylor at this point is who he is. It's not like a back of the baseball card argument because it's hard to see because it's right tackle. He has been a wildly consistent player in his time here in Kansas City. He has been the exact same player every single game the entire time he's played as a Kansas City Chief. So I don't imagine him getting worse. Same with Creed Humphrey. That is a compliment because his comes with an incredibly high level of play other than the, I don't know, 7 games he had with snapping issues at the tail end of
2 years ago,
which he solved, I guess, through changing his grip or whatever. So outside of that very brief moment they had there, I will say, Gold, great news though. If they do end up moving on from Travis Kelce, did you see once again who over at KC Kingdom,
don't do this.
One player is being listed as a best fit for any NFL team and is already hypothetically being talked about in trades.
Don't do this.
I'm sure you've never heard this name mentioned with the Kansas City Chiefs before, or as a possible heir apparent to Travis Kelce. As a best remaining fit. I can't sell this out any longer. Kyle Pitts.
Let's go.
Oh, gosh.
You know I'm off it. Dude, this is more poking the bear than anything else. You know I'm off it. I was on Kyle Pitts for a number of years. I thought it was a good fit. I was very interested in Kansas City. I no longer want to make that trade. So I'm off it for what it's worth. I'm just telling you other websites and other outlets are not. I saw multiple outlets, including the one I had mentioned, KC Kingdom, mention Kyle Pitts as a high fit for the Kansas City-led offense. Reportedly, the Falcons are being kind of mum is the word. It sounds like they're kind of out on him. Like they're trying to say, no, the coach likes him. I think they're kind of out on him. Fresh blood, new system. Let Penix figure out his own security blankets to kind of work through and go with. Let him kind of go, you know, lean on Bijan more, whatever you got to do. I think a lot of it is they're probably willing, but like, I don't even know what the value is anymore. Is there a pick that you would do it? If it were a seventh, Gold, would you do it? Like, is there a pick you would do it?
A seventh?
There's no five. No gray.
I mean, I think you do it for a fifth.
I wouldn't do it for a fifth. It'd have to be late. You know where I've been at Kyle Pitts throughout his career. Great, great rookie season. And then everybody blamed it on his quarterback play. At some point, you got to take responsibility for your own play. And that's where I've been at with Kyle Pitts for a while. He's been drastically disappointing considering where he was drafted.
Do I think
he's terrible? No, he's not terrible. I just think he's an average tight end in this league that's still an athletic freak. But we have plenty of guys in the league that are athletic freaks, and they just, for whatever reason, it doesn't all come together. And I think that is what has happened for Kyle Pitts.
That happens a lot.
I think Kyle Pitts is a great example of he's playing off his talent. He's not working to get, like, he doesn't have, and again, I might be wrong, but it looks like he plays off of, I've got enough talent, like, I'm freakishly athletic enough to do it, and I don't need to really put in that amount of work, which I think...
That's what actual people have accused him of. You're not just saying that. People have accused him of that.
And I think that, Arthur Smith was the head coach. He's no longer head coach. Raheem Morris is doing a solid job, but they haven't had consistent quarterback play. I think there's part of it, mostly to blame is Kyle Pitts, but I think part of it is if you were to say he gets Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, he can elevate his play to be better than average. If you say you gave up a fifth or a sixth round pick to do that, I would be all about it.
I guess here would be the answer to the question. Here's the only appeal for him. He's only 24 years old. He'll be 25 at the start of the season. That's the biggest appeal. The fact that he is a very young player still, but dude, he's been in the league for 4 years. Young only buys you so much time. The bigger question is if Noah Gray was the full time starting tight end the last 2 years for the Chiefs, how many yards and touchdowns do you think he'd put up? Because here's the last
650.
Here's the last 2 years. Great, great answer, by the way, without even looking. And you think probably four or five touchdowns. Here's the great Kyle Pitts last 2 years as the full time starting tight end for the Atlanta Falcons. 53,667 and three touchdowns, 47,602 and four touchdowns. That feels exactly what Noah Gray's numbers would be if he was the full-time starting tight end.
Kyle Pitts' nickname is?
His nickname?
No. On Pro Football Reference. You know how
those nicknames are weird. They list all kinds of bad ones for Mahomes.
Do you have any guesses for Kyle Pitts without looking on the page?
So something Florida-related, maybe.
Unicorn. I don't know the backstory there.
I guess because he's a unicorn prospect.
Fourth overall pick. I'm sorry, terrible pick. You drafted him fourth overall, and you're getting 600-yard production a year out of a
tight
end.
For 1 year, they felt amazing. When he had 1,000 yards, they were probably feeling
but
good.
If Kyle Pitts was on the Chiefs. Even then, Cody, it was. I mean, we've seen tight ends recently. Sam Laporta and these other guys had way better seasons than that. It's not even like that was, oh my gosh, I've never seen a tight end have 1,000 yards.
No, but at the time, it was less common. Now, more tight ends are coming.
If Kyle
Sam Laporta's also coming off a disappointing year. He only had 726 yards.
Yeah, he was not very
good. And he didn't even have the first year that
correct
he might be heading straight for we'll Kyle see. Pittstown population Laporta at this point 889 year one less than his and 726 so better in year two what but was, not like good
what was TJ Hockenson last year I know out. He was kind of injured off and on but Hockenson and Laporta I kind of put in that same category of their names are really good because they had one really good season or two.
This is where he had 455 yards but he was injured, played in 10 games. This is where this is a Kansas City-based conversation, Drew, where we run into a problem where I don't think fans realize Kyle Pitts is actually giving you league average tight end play. So he's not like a total washout in the league. He's not like, this guy's a total bust, get him out. He's terrible at the pick you were taking him at, like Gold said. But he's not like, get the man out of the league. He'll probably play in the league 10 years if he's going to have 600 yards. This is what a normal tight end looks like. The difference is they picked him fourth overall thinking they were going to get Brock Bowers production for 10 straight years or Travis Kelce production for 10 straight years. And he's, what's the league average tight end that I haven't mentioned before? I don't want to bring up the same poor guy every time. Cole Kmet doesn't deserve this.
Cole Kmet isn't even, I mean, he's...
Mike he might Gesicki. Be slightly above average. Mike
Gesicki.
Sure.
Pat Freiermuth.
They thought they were getting better than that, I guess is the point.
Pat Freiermuth is another good one of just, he's really solid. You know, he's reliable. I think if you put Kyle Pitts on the Chiefs offense, I think he could have 800, 850 yards in a season on a regular basis. Cause I think that's how much Mahomes and Andy could elevate him. I think it has nothing to do with Kyle Pitts himself. I think it is Andy is going to figure out a way and Mahomes will figure out a way to get you the ball in the best spots. And you're going to be better because you have them.
Let him just play his last year in Atlanta, be a free agent, and then you can kick it around. Okay? Then you can do the entertainment part.
All right, up next, let's get to what's trending. We'll get another U.S. Open leaderboard update as well and talk more about what things could look like in this rotation with Cole Reagans back on the IL.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home.
you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.